You're listening to Holocaust survivor Mel Fedderbusch, interviewed by his son on the occasion of his 90th birthday. Mr. Fedderbusch spent much of his adult life not speaking about his horrific experiences in order to safeguard the feelings of his family. Today, after having 5 grandchildren, he has agreed to reveal the details they've never heard. On this broadcast, Mr. Fedderbusch discusses the concentration camps and death camps at Buchenwald, Triglitz, and Theresienstadt. He reveals details. You're listening to Holocaust survivor Mel Fedderbusch, interviewed by his son on the occasion of his 90th birthday. Mr. Fedderbusch spent much of his adult life not speaking about his horrific experiences in order to safeguard the feelings of his family. Today, after having 5 grandchildren, he has agreed to reveal the details they've never heard. On this broadcast, Mr. Fedderbusch discusses the concentration camps and death camps at Buchenwald, Triglitz, and Theresienstadt. He reveals details about living in the Polish ghettos and working as a slave laborer for the Nazis. He shares his harrowing experience of being falsely arrested and placed in solitary confinement, and his personal account of the murder of his parents and 9-year-old twin sisters, plus his heroic attempt to save his own life by leaping from a Nazi cattle car headed for the infamous death camp Auschwitz. Mr. Fedderbusch's testimony and original Buchenwald passport can be viewed at the Museum of Jewish Heritage in New York. His eyewitness accounts can be accessed in the Fortunoff Archives at Yale University and at the Shoah Visual History Foundation, founded by Steven Spielberg. He's a speaker with the Holocaust and Human Rights Education Center in Purchase, New York, where he visits high school students, bringing his message of perpetual hope, global peace, and the end of prejudice. He's an adamant proponent of patriotism for the United States of America and support for her ally in freedom, liberty, and democracy, the State of Israel. This unprecedented live global broadcast is brought to you by TalkRadioX.com. And now, here's your host, Greg Fedderbusch.
We discussed a little bit about the paintings that were stolen, and now we're going to discuss a little bit more about what he wanted to be as he was growing up. When you were a kid, did you dream of a specific type of career?
Yes.
What was it?
I wanted to be an architect.
Oh, at what age did this dream begin?
It became when I found out what an architect does, which was about 14, 15 years old.
And how did you find out about that?
Well, you read, you find out like everybody else.
So what was it about architecture that you liked?
Because it was creativity. You create when you're an architect. You must think of, first of all, I was always fascinated with building and beautiful buildings and so on. And it takes architecture to do that. And this is what I knew what it takes. It takes creativity. That was the main reason, creativity. And when I was in Switzerland, I was learning architecture a little bit. I did drawings to start with, but I never became an architect because when I came to the United States, I was already 26 years old, and to go on studying to be to an age of 30 or more did not make sense.
Do you consider that?
Of course I did.
So you considered taking architecture once you came to the United States?
No, I had to give it up because I figured that I got to make a life for myself first. Studying was always such an... I didn't know how long it would take, and it was like an impossible dream, sort of.
I see.
I knew I had to. I was all alone. I wanted to be in business, establish myself, make money and have a family. This was the goal.
Right.
So to continue studying until they're 30-some years old to become, and then you don't know whether you're really going to succeed or not. So I decided to be more practical.
Did you, but you said you didn't want to learn, do what your father did. He was a woodworker. He built furniture. And then How did you end up becoming a woodworker? Because that's what you ended up doing, making picture frames.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But I didn't want to do furniture. Okay?
Oh, I see.
I used the experience in woodworking in a different area.
Yeah. Did you actually learn woodworking from him?
Well, I didn't learn. I mean, I was born to it. I saw it every day.
Right.
I knew what was going on. I mean, you had to. I did use tools myself to make all kinds of pieces of wood, things out of wood, you know. Even when I was a kid, I did. But I didn't want to be a furniture manufacturer like my father.
What did your parents look like? Do you have an image. It's not real clear, or it's clear?
It's quite clear, Greg.
Tell me what they looked like. I don't know, people may not know this, but there's no photographs of any of your family.
No.
I never knew what they looked like.
I know.
So what did your parents look like?
Well, my mother was people are telling me, I knew she was a good-looking woman, but people are telling me that also.
Uh-huh.
Those who knew her always told me, very few people who are alive now knew her. Most of them died out. But those who knew her did say that she was a very beautiful woman, and tall and good-looking. And
dark hair?
I beg your pardon?
Did she have dark hair?
Yes, dark hair.
And how tall did you think she actually was? I mean,
she was considered a tall person.
So you think maybe she was 5'7"?
No, like she appeared tall.
So she wasn't as tall
Maybe she was 5'6".
When you were 16,
don't forget people were not as tall then as now.
Well, when you were 16, when they died, how tall were you?
Not much different than today.
Oh, so you were at full 5'6" at that time?
Yes.
So were you the same size as your mother, or was she taller than you?
Yeah, no, she was like me, but maybe a little taller, but she appeared taller.
Right. Well,
And for a woman, this was tall.
Okay. So, and your dad was around the same height?
No, my dad, about the same height.
Did he look like you?
No. Sydney, maybe.
Well, you and Sydney look similar.
Yeah. Well, my father was quite skinny. It was not skinny, but he was skinny. He had very little hair on his head.
Oh,
he was sort of like a delicate face, and very pleasant to talk with. He was very soft spoken. He was a straightforward person, sort of like, you know. There was no gimmicks about him of any kinds. He was a typical person who was trying hard to make a living for his family. You know.
Was there anything you admired about him or your mother?
I admired about him because he was working so hard to support us, to support the family. That was my admiration.
So you felt bad for him a little?
Yes, I did.
Did he complain?
No. I told him many times, 10 o'clock at night, he was still working, and I said, my God, why don't you? And he could see he was very tired. And I said to him, mind you, when I was so young, I used to tell him, you will accomplish more by sleeping a good night's sleep and work less.
Well, you cared about him. You probably wanted to take care of him.
Yes, but he just couldn't break away from it because he just kept going and going and going.
And what about your mom? Did you admire anything about her?
Yes, she was good-hearted, very social-minded, trying to help others.
Did she have people at the house? Did she have people over?
Gregory, this was not like here. We very hardly, because there was no room for it. You understand? There was no room. People did not. The only people that were invited that I know of were poor people who did not have a home. And on Friday night after the services, there were some poor people standing near the door of the synagogue and expecting to be invited. And these people were invited.
Who invited them?
Most people.
No, I mean,
who could afford.
Was it your mother?
My mother, no, my father did. My mother didn't go to shul on Friday night.
Oh, your father said, what did he say to them?
Well, they expected to be invited.
So he brought them over for dinner.
Right.
And do you remember any of those dinners?
Yes, well, they came. We had dinner. We said the kiddush, you know, and all this. And then we sang zmiras. You know what that is?
Songs.
Singing zmiras, songs, yes. You sing in between meals. That's an old Jewish
in between
tradition.
Courses, you mean?
Yes. In between courses.
And what were the songs? Do you remember?
Well, the songs were all kinds. We had songs that was composed by a rabbi from our hometown, and he was world known for that. And they're not even known today. They're called the Moshe Tzeneginim.
But wasn't Moshitz a different town?
No. Moshitz was a Jewish name for our town.
So Demblin and Moshitz are the same place.
Exactly.
So, but Moshitz, wasn't there a lot of real Hasidic connections with Moshitz?
Yes. The Hasidic connection was that the rabbi who was a composer had a lot of Hasidim who was believed in him, like... They called them Moshitz and Hasidim. Oh. Moshitz and Hasidim, like they call today, Koshinitz and Hasidim, all kinds of rabbis. You call them Hasidim of that, by the name of the rabbi or the rabbi's town.
So so these songs were written prior to your generation, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
When were they written? In the 1800s?
Right.
That's when this guy was alive who wrote the songs.
Yes. 1800 something.
So those were
at the turn of the century, he was still alive in Demblin. and these melodies you can even turn on the YouTube and you could write down Moshitz concert, and you'll see a whole concert of these melodies.
Yeah, it's spelled
Moshitz, Modzitz.
Okay, and those songs were the songs that everyone were popular in the town.
Yes,
did they spread to other towns at that point?
Oh yes.
Yet?
They were known all over. They're known in the United States even.
No, I mean then.
Even then, yes.
So were there concerts? Who?
No, there were melodies that were used in the synagogues for the prayers. You know, like the prayers, all kinds of prayers had different melodies that he composed to.
And these are what you sang on Friday night.
Right.
Do you remember do you know anything about your parents' wedding or how they met?
Yes. Well, I know exactly how it happened. They, when Poland became independent in 1920, they built a bridge over the Vistula River, which is near our town.
Vistula?
Vistula.
V-I-S-T-U-L-A.
T-U-L-A. It's a well-known river, yes. Very wide.
Yes.
And and they, when we're building that bridge, people came to work from all over. My father was working on the bridge, and he befriended a guy, and he came from Turobin, where my mother comes from. So when the bridge was built, their friendship was very close, and my father went with him to Turobin, to where he came from. His name was Schleimer, and I told you that.
What was his last name?
Schleimer Feldman.
Right. Your mother's brother.
Brother, right. And the only brother.
And he introduced them?
And he introduced them.
So he invited your father over, and they met at his house, or you don't know?
They were partners in business at first.
Oh, right.
And that's how it came about.
What was the business? Where was it?
That was in Turobin, too.
So how did your father went to Turobin to work?
Turobin.
And he worked there?
Yes, they had a business. They had a woodworking business together in partnership with my mother's brother.
So this was before he started his business in Demblin?
Yes.
So what did he do before that? Or how was he pretty young still at that time?
Who?
Your father.
My father? My father was doing this all the time. I don't know. That was his trade. He was always a woodworking person, but he must have been working on a job, on different jobs.
Oh, so you don't know what he was doing in Demblin?
He was probably working with his father.
Right, because his father, your grandfather...
was also in the same business.
Was...
woodworking.
He was Moshe Aaron.
Right.
And your father was
Godel.
Levi Godel. Now, are you sure it was pronounced Levi? Because every time we mention that to people, they say, "Was he a Levi? Was he a
No. Levi was a name, and Levi is also a tribe.
You call him Levi or Label? Do you remember
Levi is the right way when you read called to the Torah? It would be called Levi Godel.
You remember that?
Absolutely.
And what did people call him? Did he have a nickname?
No.
Did they call him Godel?
Godel.
They called him Godel.
Right.
And I'm named after him.
Right.
So your father was working with your mother's brother, and then they met? How long was he working there before he met your mother?
Not long, because then they got married.
What year did they get married?
A year before I was born, must have been 1922.
So he was there from 19... So the bridge was built in 1920, you said?
Something like that. I don't know exactly. But at that time, and maybe they were together for about a year, and then my father was in business with him over there in Turobin, and I was born there. And oh. When I was two years old... my father moved back to Demblin by himself. Apparently, they split up that partnership, and I was 2 years old when I came to Demblin.
Do you know anything about life in Turobin?
I only know what I saw when I went there when I was about 12 years old,
right.
And then again about 14 years old.
But do you know anything about their wedding?
About my parents' wedding?
Yeah.
No. I went there to a wedding to my youngest, I told you, Rachel, to her wedding. I went with my brothers. I was about 14 years old, and I was responsible for the two of them. And we went to the wedding, and then my mother came, and then my father also came to that wedding.
You traveled separately, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Why was that?
I don't know. There must have been a reason for that. I can't remember that reason.
Maybe you went early or they went early?
No, we went earlier. Maybe because Maybe because he wants to spend more time over there during the summer vacation.
So do you know anything else about the time that your parents were together in Turobin?
Not much. All I know, they got married there.
They got married and they lived in, you don't know where you lived with them when you were two.
No, I don't know. I knew now when I was two, they moved to Dublin, and I do not remember that. But I do remember when I was little, where we lived at that time.
A lot of these questions I have here are from cousin Lisa.
Really? Okay.
Liba Handler. And she has some specific questions too, like your mother was Fagy and her mother was Reisel,
right.
Correct? Her mother was Reisel Gelman.
Correct.
Do you know anything about your mother's mother?
My grandmother?
Yeah.
Well, this poor lady was very hard working to support her family because her husband passed away when he was very young. I told you that.
Oh,
I was named after him.
And he's the one who... Oh, he passed away.
Yes. And she was on her own to support the family. She was going to the nearby villages and dealt with the farmers. She bought some things from the farmers, food stuff.
So
chickens and stuff. And she sold it to the Jews in Turobin, in that town.
This was during the time that your mother was growing up?
Right.
So...
And during the time that I knew her also, she did this all the way.
So when you visited Turobin, you visited her as well?
Yes.
And,
of course.
And they were, I'm sorry, but during that time, your cousin Rachel that you were friends with and the other sibling.
Aunt Rachel.
Aunts. Right. Were they all living together with your grandmother?
No, they were not. The others were all married.
I see.
And they lived in different places, different towns.
These were your grandmother's sisters, yes?
These are my mother's sisters.
Okay, so your grandmother's daughters is who we're talking about.
Exactly.
And your grandmother, so she was living on her own after they all got married?
Yes.
And you visited her at that time?
Yes.
And do you remember where she lived?
Oh, yes.
What type of a place was that?
Oh, my God. A little town, a small house, one room, and she had an oven, a big oven, where it was always warm on top of it. The oven was really like you see it today, an oven where they bake pizza, you know, something like that, big.
Like a wood-burning stove kind of thing?
No, an oven, not a wood-burning stove.
With coal?
Like a pizza oven. Did you ever see, if you go to a restaurant where they bake pizzas?
Yeah. Was it
That's the kind of an oven. But I mean a large pizza
What was it, coal-fired?
No. It's got to be wood-burning, yes.
Yes. Okay, so... And why did she have such a big one? Because when she had little kids, she needed to cook for the whole family.
Yes, so, baked.
So that was
baking was a big thing.
What she baked?
Oh yes.
What did she bake?
Bread and everything. And everything.
Do you remember?
Bread,
do you remember anything?
Oh yes, she baked cookies and stuff. Oh yes.
You remember eating those cookies?
Oh yes. I liked them very much.
What occasions would you, just any time you came over, she would bake you cookies?
No, cookies was a delicacy. She only had it over holidays and stuff like this. This was not an everyday thing, no.
And this is the same house she lived in from the time before your grandfather passed away?
That's right, same place.
And what did your grandfather do?
He was a teaching rabbi. He taught, like I had a rabbi who taught me the Bible and all that. This is the kind of a rabbi he was.
And who was he named after? His name was Menachem Mendel.
This, I don't know how far, I don't know that part of the family.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about his father or so. I don't know anything about that.
But you believe that he was born in Terrobin and his parents were born in Terrobin, or you don't know?
Probably, but I know that originally their parents or grandparents came from Odessa, Russia.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
You never told me that.
No, I didn't.
Well, Stephanie's grandparents are from Odessa.
Oh, really? Well, maybe they knew each other.
That's interesting. Huh. So let me just make sure I understand. You believe that your grandfather's parents, your great-grandparents are from Odessa.
Yes.
And what was their last name? Do you know? I mean,
it had to be Feldman. You're talking about
Feldman.
Yes.
So maybe you're related to Marty Feldman. Remember that comedian with the big eye that was in Young Frankenstein?
Oh, yes. I know exactly who it is. But, you know, my grandmother's maiden name I found out here in Albany. How did I? Because my grandmother's brother who came to Albany, immigrated, and his name was the same as, remember Steve, the big, tall guy, Steve, a cousin?
Yeah, cousin Steve.
Steve. His name is Gelman?
Right.
That was my grandmother's maiden name.
So your grandmother, who was Riesel Feldman, because she married your grandfather Feldman.
Right.
Her name originally was Gelman, which is what I said before.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the fact that your mother and your father got married, and they moved to Demblin when you were two. Your grandmother, who we're speaking about now, Riesel, and your grandfather who passed away, your grandmother stayed there.
Right.
And she had how many kids?
Four daughters and one son.
Right. We discussed that already.
Yeah.
Now, her four daughters and son had children.
Right.
Who were brought up in Terrobin.
Yes. The only one who didn't have any children, because she got married very close to the time when the war broke out. She's the only one, Rachel. She didn't have any. All the others did have children. And they were my cousins.
And what were their names? Can you rattle
also,
them off?
Everyone named one of them, the oldest one, the same name as me, Menachem Mendel.
But his name was Feldman.
Feldman. Menachem Mendel.
And the other names, do you remember?
Well, depending on who they... I remember the name Rosenberg was my Aunt Leah's husband's name, Rosenberg.
So your Aunt Leah, your mother's sister Leah...
Leah, the oldest, she was a Rosenberg. She married a Rosenberg.
Okay.
And she had two sons. One was my name, and the other one was Sidney's name.
Oh, so their name was Rosenberg.
Huh?
Their last name was Rosenberg.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So where did they end up? Do you know?
You know where they all end up? The rest, together with the 6 million Jews, that's where they ended up.
None of these family that you're speaking with now, speaking of now, survived?
Right.
None of them?
None of them.
So your mother's other sister was Leah. What was the other sister's name?
Pearl.
Pearl? And she married, do you remember who she married?
Yeah, she married, I have to look it up, I forgot his name. Yeah, his name was Liza. Liza?
Uh-huh.
Let's say your first name.
And did they have children?
Yes. A boy and a girl. I don't remember. They also starting the same name as mine, the boy, who's the older one.
Uh-huh.
And the girl.
They all named their kids after their father.
Exactly.
Who passed away.
Right.
Do you know anything about how they were affected by his death at such a young age? Like, did they ever talk about it, about losing their father?
No. I don't know if my mother, you know, I don't remember that. You're right. I don't remember that. It's quite possible that he passed away when they were so young that they even don't remember, maybe.
I
don't remember my mother ever talking about him.
Okay, so let's get the rest of the names. It was Leia Pearl.
Leia.
You don't have to.
My mother, then Pearl, then Gutscher, and then Rachel.
Rachel didn't have, wasn't married because she was young, and Gutscher was married?
Yes, she had two boys also, the same name, same name.
And do you know what any of these people did in Turobin?
They didn't live in Turobin. Not all of them lived in Turobin.
Oh, when they got married, they moved away.
The only one that lived in Turobin was Rosenberg. Leia and her husband and the two boys.
Uh-huh.
And the next one, Pearl, well, he moved to Dublin. Pearl moved to Garvolin, which is, I think I told you the story that I didn't. I was supposed to go to Garvolin, and I didn't. I went to Warsaw instead.
Right.
That was her. And then Gutscher lived in Warsaw. And, the youngest one, Rachel, lived with her mother in Turobin.
Do you know specifically about what happened to any of them? Or did you hear any stories? Or
no stories. They all perished in the Holocaust.
So, in other words, you never met anyone who saw them in the camps or anything like that?
No. Well, I have that book from Turobin that I could... And she is in... Rachel is in one of the photographs in the book her husband.
I need to see that.
I showed it to you.
Which book? Oh, is that one of the pictures I have?
No. This was the book from Turobin.
Where's that book now?
I have it here in my house.
So, first of all, when was the last time you saw these people? Do you know? Do you remember?
The last time I saw one of the sisters, my aunt,
Rachel,
and her husband, and
one?
Two boys, was Gutscher. They lived in Warsaw. When they left the Warsaw, before the ghetto started, and they came to my house, and from my house they went to Turobin. That's when they perished. That's when they all perished.
What year was that?
1940, 1941.
So it was after the war broke out. They were already living in Warsaw.
Yes, they were still living in Warsaw.
And they came. Why did they go to Turobin?
Because Warsaw apparently was very difficult to exist. The Warsaw ghetto.
So they were able to leave, and they wanted to come back to where her mother was living in Turobin.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they stopped in your town in Dublin first?
Yes.
And you saw them?
They stayed with us.
Oh, they stayed with you. Their kids were how old at that time?
Oh, I must have been 8.
So they were way younger than you.
Six or five or six or seven.
But your parents were already had already passed away.
What,
in 1941?
No. Hmm?
In 1941, your parents were already gone.
My parents were gone, yes.
Her sister was gone.
Yes.
So did she know that your sister, that she lost her sister?
Of course she did. She was with us in our house.
So when she came to your house, is that when she learned that her sister died?
Yes.
Do you remember any of that?
Yes, I do, of course.
Well, tell me what it was like.
Well, it was war, Greg, and it was a different kind of thing. Of course, she cried and so on, and listen, that's the way it was. War was war.
And you remember this, or you?
I remember quite well, of course.
So how long did she stay with you?
I don't know how long, but a few months.
Were you close with her boys?
Sure.
Was Sidney close?
Well, they were They were considerably younger than me.
Was your brother Sidney closer in age? Obviously, he was closer in age. Was he closer to them?
Also older. No, they were much considerably younger. I would say Sidney at that time must have been like 11, 10, and they were younger. The young one was a little baby that she had to take care of, a baby. And the other one was a 4 or 5 years old.
And their names were Menachem Mendel?
Yes, and Sidney.
And Simcha.
Right.
And so then they left for Torbin. And
that's it.
And then I didn't hear.
That was the end of it. I didn't hear any more from anybody.
And your grandmother, when was the last time you heard from her?
Oh, I didn't hear from her from before the war. When the war broke out, that was the end of everything.
So when the war broke out and your parents were killed,
right?
You had not seen or spoken to your grandmother after that.
No.
Do you know what happened to the people in Torbin?
Yes, they were all evacuated, to
Sobibor.
Sobibor,
which is what you mentioned.
Or Treblinka. I've got to take a look where they went to.
They ended up going to those death camps.
Right.
And you never heard anything about any of them again during the war or after the war?
Or after, no.
Just gone.
Gone.
And did you...
I had a distant relative from Torbin visiting, and he got me that book. But he was not over there during the war, I think. He did not provide me with any information about my family.
Did you ever think... you were the closest to Rachel, your mother's youngest sister.
Yes, she was the youngest.
When was the last time you saw her?
This must have been the time when she got married, when we went to the wedding.
And what year was that again?
This must have been about 2 years before the war broke out.
So 1937, somewhere around there?
Exactly.
And did you ever think about them or wonder what happened to them or think about your grandmother?
Of course, I knew what happened. I know what happened. They're not here, they're gone.
I understand, but
I cannot believe that any of those people survived. I know it was a horrible situation over there. I know how they treated them. I know from the book, you know.
But let me ask you this. What I'm asking you is from the time that the war broke out in 39,
right,
to the time that the war was over, or the time that you found out what happened to the people,
right,
which was a while later, because you said it took a while before you even found out anything.
Right.
What did you think was going on with them?
I knew that they couldn't possibly survive. But when I got the book, it confirmed it.
Right. All right, so we still have some more about a little bit more about the your childhood, and then we're going to get into the specific dates about when the war broke out and what happened to you.
Okay.
Do you remember? Did you have a bar mitzvah?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Not a bar mitzvah in the same way as you know a bar mitzvah is a party. No, we had no parties. I was called to the Torah. And there was some kind of a kiddush in the shul, something small.
Do you remember what shul? Was it the shtiebel?
It was a shtiebel that my father belonged to. And that was it.
Did you do your haftorah? You did everything you learned?
Yeah.
And you put on tefillin?
Oh, yeah.
Did you put tefillin on when you prayed or just for your bar mitzvah?
No, for bar mitzvah, I didn't put on any tefillin because it was on a Saturday. You don't do it on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go on with that, what about Lisa wants to know chumah? and Sadie. Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit about that? I know you said it before in that other interview that we did, but this is her part of the family. How are they related to you?
Very simple. Huma and my mother, Huma and Shavy from Albany,
right,
and my mother were cousins. They were first cousins because their mothers
were sisters.
Their mothers was my grandmother were sisters.
Right. So your grandmother's sisters. What were their names? Do you remember?
Well, we're talking about Huma and Shavy.
But their
mothers. Their mothers were sisters with my grandmother.
I understand.
And I don't know the names of their mothers.
Got it. So do you remember where they lived?
In Albany. They came to Albany.
No, I mean when you were little. Did you know them when you were little?
I had no idea about this whole family until I came to the United States.
So, but did they know you?
No. My grandmother.
Where did they live?
Who?
Huma.
They lived here. They lived here in Albany.
No, where were they born?
Now, Huma and Shavy were born in Europe. They came here. They immigrated. They were teenagers when they came here.
So your grandmother, who lived in Torbien.
Right.
She wasn't from Torbien. You said, was it your grandfather who was originally from Torbien?
So is my grandmother.
So then they must have been from Torbien too, if they were sisters.
Apparently not. They came from a different town. I don't know exactly how that happened. But I know that my grandmother had five sisters and one brother. All of them came to the United States in the 1920s, except for my grandmother, because she fell in love with that rabbi who, my grandfather. She fell in love with him, which is very unusual those days. Those days, only people got married only by
arranged
marriages. My grandmother fell in love with him, and he was her. My grandma was his second wife.
Oh, what happened to his
first? I don't know anything about his first wife. All I know is that I had an uncle in Warsaw who was not her son. He was the son of my grandfather's first wife.
Right, that's the half brother you were talking about.
No,
stepbrother.
That was my. Before we were talking about my father. Okay. We're now talking about my mother.
Okay, it's confusing. So he was the rabbi. He was the one who had a previous wife that you don't know what happened to.
No, must have passed away. Probably passed away.
But he's the one who also died young of a heart attack.
Exactly.
But maybe he wasn't that young if he had a previous wife.
Well, it was, I mean, I don't know exactly his age, but it was considered young because all the children were very young. They were married for a relatively short period of time. I don't know exactly how many years, but short.
So you didn't know about that part of the family until you got here, and we know that whole story.
Right.
So basically, once the war started, so was your childhood over before the Germans invaded Poland? What led up to that?
I didn't understand the question.
Was your childhood over? Like
my childhood?
Yeah, when you were 15.
I was 16 years old when the war broke out.
Right.
I lost my parents. Once you lose your parents, your childhood is over.
No, I'm saying, but just a year or so before that, what was going on? What was transpiring? Did you know?
But
Did you know that the war was that the Germans were engaging, and what did you feel?
Well, we knew about Hitler. We knew that Hitler is a bad person. We knew about his book that he wrote, Mein Struggle, Mein Kampf.
Uh-huh.
We knew all about his intentions, but nobody believed that he would ever carry out what is written in the book, because he's talking about occupying Russia. I mean, for Germany to occupy Russia, the way he writes, and enslave the Russians to be slaves to the Germans before the war broke out, this was sort of like an impossible situation. We thought he was a maniac, and he was a maniac.
But at the same time,
he tried to do that. He almost succeeded.
But at the same time, before the war, didn't you know that there was also a lot of anti-Semitism increasing?
Oh, yes.
And you heard about all the things that were happening, that he was getting people riled up already at that time.
Yes, so you're talking about Kristallnacht, yes.
Well, Kristallnacht was 1938, wasn't it?
Right. Before the war broke out.
Kristallnacht is called the Night of Broken Glass, which is when people really just started to destroy all the Jewish property. And
there was a German was killed by a Jewish boy in France. And the German was a German, either he was a consulate or he was from the diplomatic whatever in France, German. And he was killed by a Jewish boy. And because of that, he had a good excuse to start with Kristallnacht. And Kristallnacht was when they, which is well known, how many synagogues he destroyed. And he destroyed a lot of people's houses, Jewish, and businesses, and put a lot of Jews into concentration camps. And this is Kristallnacht,
but Kristallnacht was set up. It was organized by the Nazis, according
to... Right. Yes. It was all organized by the Nazis. Correct.
30,000 Jewish men are arrested and imprisoned in concentration camps.
Right.
7,500 Jewish stores are looted. Is this just in Germany?
Just in Germany, because this, he did not, at that time, this was before the war broke out, and they were not anyplace else, only in Germany.
Hmm. And see, this was also around the same time, 1938, when, right after that, the German Jews were ordered to pay back 1 billion Reichsmarks,
yeah,
in reparation for damages from Kristallnacht. They were blamed for it.
Right.
And they were forced to pay back the German government, according to them. And then by the November 15th, which was 5 days after Kristallnacht, all Jewish children are expelled from German schools.
Right.
Then in the following month, in December 1938, decrees ban Jews from public streets on certain days.
Right.
Jews are forbidden driver's licenses and cars, and they're forced to sell their businesses and real estate, hand over their securities and jewelry to the government at artificially low prices. Right. They may no longer attend universities as teachers and or students.
Right.
Did you know what was going on at that point?
Yes, we did. I did know.
How did you hear? Did you hear?
It was written in the newspapers.
How long did it take for you to get a newspaper?
We had newspapers the same day like everybody else.
By that time, there was newspapers. Were there phones in the town?
There were a couple of telephones that if you wanted to make a telephone... Hardly ever anybody made a telephone, but if anybody wants to make a telephone, you have to arrange it in advance, a few days in advance, that you're going to call or get a call in advance. And that's how you make a call. That's how you got to a telephone.
Even up until 1938?
Right, 1939, yes.
What about cars? Were there cars? What other...
One car I know of was belonged to a Jewish doctor.
Uh-huh.
It's the only car that I know of.
Did he use that to make house calls?
Huh?
Did he use it to drive to people's houses?
Yes, also, but mostly for pleasure. He didn't need it. The distances for over there did not. You don't need a car for the distances over there.
Mm-hmm. And were there any other luxuries in the town?
Not that I know of. What would you call a luxury?
So there was only a couple of phones. What about radios?
Radios. There were a few radios. Yes, I remember listening. Yeah, there was a radio in one of the candy stores that belonged to a Jewish guy, and we all were standing outside listening to the radio. I remember a whole group of people listened to the radio, but there were no radios in houses, just like we know it.
What type of stuff were you listening to on the radio? Was it news or was it like stories?
News mostly, only news.
Uh huh. So you got some news at that time from the radio and the newspapers?
Yes.
And so you knew what was going on in Germany?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so listen, next time we'll continue with this for hour 5. Thanks to everyone for listening, and please stay with us for the next hour if you find this interesting.